Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Thursday now, the 29th of May. Baltana, that's a big, beautiful wind in this part of Dublin. And it's weirdly warm out there as well. What's going on at all? We are meteorologically mithered, we are. How are tricks with you? Join the group chat on the WhatsApp. That's 087-032-3232. And if you have bigger notions that need a whole page on the internet, why not email Oliver at rte.ie. Now, Elaine Feeney is our guest this morning, celebrated novelist from Athenry, and she grew up on a farm, and you could tell from this brand new book of hers, which is a great title, Let Me Go Mad in My Own Way. It's like an Irish phrase, isn't it? Just let me go mad in my own way, will you? And it's about family and cross generations, stoic, horrible men, some black and tans, which are always written as the one word, which I find curious. I think that should be the staple from now on. Black and tans, all one word. And there's an incredible story about a black horse, as black as a wine dark sea. So we're looking forward to that chat later on. And she's especially fascinated about the move from, the original farmhouses in Ireland right up to the 70s and 80s into the bungalow. And that resulted in a move away from the kitchen, really as the focal point of the house, where you just open the door straight into the kitchen, and the impact that's had on our heads in Ireland. So really beautiful writing with a story that grabs a hold of you. 51551, by the way, is the text as well. Well, we all knew it would end up like this. Elon Musk and Donald Trump's bromance is over. Musk was expected to step back from the administration as the, he's the lead shiny chainsaw guy, isn't he, in the Trump administration. But at the end of May, because of their rows about tariffs and so on, they've diverged on tariffs, more on that later. But Elon Musk's kind of, his Tesla brand, of course, is dive bombed. You had those protests everywhere, fires. His unpopularity was so bad that Trump took against him, essentially. But he was meant to keep a foot in the door at this Doge agency to cut federal spending. Then yesterday, he openly criticised the president by bashing what Trump has regarded as his biggest achievement in his second term, the big, beautiful spending bill. It was passed by the House of Representatives last week. Now it's going to the Senate. It is basically a multi-trillion dollar tax break for very wealthy people and a pledge to increase defence spending, which has Musk all het up. He was talking to a CBS presenter here, and this was his mistake, or it might have been an exit plan.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
The presenters always have to chortle along with them. That's how you get the interview. You have to kind of go, you're the funniest man I've ever met. And so within a couple of hours of that interview going out, the White House said, well, Elon Musk is now fully leaving the administration, not even keeping a foot in the door. And they all pretended this was exactly as planned. But he has definitely been bumped a few days early, and it's an incredible fallout. Elon Musk's wealth, it soared after that November election because he had bet so big on Trump's campaign, $250 million of his own money, apparently, and it was seen to have paid off, and there would be huge contracts coming for SpaceX and his other companies. And his wealth at the height of it, $420 billion around Christmas time, which is incredible when you think 20 years ago, 2005, the richest person on earth was Bill Gates with $46 billion. Now the richest person, $420 billion. So he returns now to the wounded Tesla brand. He lost $120 billion since the ructions began in the Trump administration. So his wealth there in April fell below the $300 billion mark for the first time in years. Now, he's still the richest man in the world. He's not going to go hungry, that's for sure, or any of his many, many children. But he'd need to pull off a miracle, Tesla, too. The brand is very badly beaten there. A redesign now would be no harm. Even, say, Tesla drivers might be saying, the shape of the car hasn't changed in 10 years, which you can't get away with. But it'll be difficult to rebuild his own image. As Frankie Boyle, comedian, once joked, Elon Musk is a horrendous human being, even by South African standards. That's a Frankie Boyle line. Very clever joke. Now, an obscure enough court, as you've been hearing in the bulletin, has shot down Trump's ability to apply tariffs to foreign trade in his big, beautiful trade war. This is the US Court of International Trade said the president has overstepped his authority in imposing reciprocal tariffs globally and indeed unilaterally on Mexico and Canada. The White House, in response, Stephen Miller, his policy guy, said this is another judicial coup, which is part of that MAGA movement to undermine judges. Which we should keep an eye on. But the thing that's most annoying him is not the courts shooting everything down. It's a new acronym, first floated by the Financial Times, now making the rounds in Wall Street. And it's a blueprint for playing the stock market among the bros, because it is mostly bros, in 2025. It's the TACO trade, T-A-C-O, which stands for Trump Always Chickens Out. He hates this. So the market kind of dips sharply every time Trump announces trade war stuff and then inevitably rockets back up when he completely retreats. In other words, when Trump announces new tariffs, it's a good time to buy. There are several examples of the trade, of the TACO trade at work. Liberation Day, remember, that was the 2nd of April. The S&P 500 had tanked 12%. Then on the 9th of April, he said, we'll have a 90-day pause. And there was a furious stock rally in the S&P. That's the index for the top 500 performing companies in America. So that's the TACO trade. He always chickens out. And then there's the China one, which he said he'd never bow down on. And he did. And it jumped to 1% since he paused, lowered tariffs for 90 days because Trump always chickens out. So Wall Street and the stocks are the only people he really has any interest in or respect for. So he's pretty irate when a journalist asked him about the TACO trade joke doing the rounds overnight.
6 months ago, this country was stone cold dead. We had a dead country. We had a country people didn't think it was going to survive. And you ask a nasty question like that. It's called negotiation. You set a number. And if you go down, you know, if I set a number at a ridiculous high number and I go down a little bit, you know, a little bit, they want me to hold that number, 145% tariff. Even I said, man, that really got up. You know how it got? Because of fentanyl and many other things. And you added it up. And in many ways, I think we really helped China tremendously because, you know, they were having great difficulty because we were basically going cold turkey with China. We were doing no business because of the tariff, because it was so high. But I knew that. But don't ever say what you said. That's a nasty question. Go ahead.
President.
To me, that's the nastiest question.
The nastiest question and the gibberish of it. We all know. We know the tariffs thing. It's all fake. And it is who knew a taco would make him mad as hell? I thought he'd love an old taco. But look, the tariffs, they clearly are a distraction. Like the war on universities, the real story is the extraordinary enrichment of himself. The cryptocurrency that's made millions for the family, including 18-year-old Barron and the son of Steve Witkoff, the Middle East envoy. There's great work in the New York Times have a big investigation on this because they go into all the deals. The Amazon deal that they paid stupid money for Melania's book and the use of the library project to receive donations. I mean, he had that major win. He collapsed illegal immigration into America, which is what voters wanted. He could have rested on that as a success and not got into all the other things that have crashed his ratings, even among Republicans. And the jet from Qatar that's been criticised by the most extreme MAGA people. Now, back to Elaine Feeney's novel with the horsey bit of it, because there's an equine story from New Research, and it's about horses and their faces. Horses have a complex repertoire of expressions, according to a new study. They produce a rich and complex repertoire of facial expressions, and we should not overlook the nuances in these if we want to truly understand the subjective experiences of horses, says the head of the research, which is all about including the care and welfare of horses. So horsey people will know some of this already. Research found almost all the facial movements occurred in all of different contexts, but some are more particular to certain types of interaction. So they found basically that when you have a nice, friendly, kind of peaceful interaction with a horse, horse-to-horse friendly interaction, the animals kind of put their nose forward. But in contrast, when paying attention to something and they're kind of curious about it, the horse's ears are typically forward and pulled together. So they go forward and come together. During aggressive encounters, the ears tend to be flattened and backward facing, while the inner brows were raised. Their eyebrows and everything are involved here. And the nostrils dilated and the head lowered. That's when there's an aggressive, angry moment happening. So the ears, yeah, they go back and the inner brows go up. Dilate the nostrils and put the head down. During play, the lower lip is depressed, the chin raised, lips parted, mouth stretched open wide, and the ears are rotated and lying backwards. That's when they're in play. And primates and some carnivores also open their mouths during play. But these face expressions have been anecdotally recognised in horses previously, but this is the first time we have research that shows it definitively and definitely exists. Why the long face? Well, now you know. Now you know entirely, for sure. Eurovision, the figures have just been revealed for the first time across the entirety of Europe. And they're quite surprising maybe to those of us here in Ireland. It's certainly the world's biggest live televised music event in the world still. 166 million viewers across the 37 countries in the competition. It was the 69th edition in Basel, and it was 3 million up on last year's contest in Malmo in Sweden. This is the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union. A huge increase in youth engagement. 60% of viewers from 15 to 24 tuning into the competition. That's extraordinary numbers for television in this day and age. The final, of course, won by Austria. The votes came from 146 countries. They're only measuring the European countries here. The highest audience was in Germany, an average of 9.1 million viewers. The biggest in 9 years. 9 million, can you imagine? Here in Ireland, an average of 268,000 viewers watched the final on RT1. That was well down on last year when, we made the final. That makes a big difference, getting to the final. 268,000 this year. It was 666K last year when we made the final. No sign of a boycott of the show from the European viewers. 969 million views on Instagram. It's so extraordinary. Joe, moving down to Kerry, a bid to name the airport after Daniel O'Connell has been rejected. I thought this would be a nice idea. Kerry Airport is as well known down there. I always thought it was Farran Four, sometimes referred to it as that. They wanted to officially rename it, but the Kerry County Council rejected. The board of Kerry Airport rejected the call from Kerry County Council to rename the county's international gateway, saying, well, it's known as Kerry Airport. Although the argument was, they'd still call it Kerry Airport, you just have Daniel O'Connell officially there. They wanted to do it this year because it's O'Connell's 250th anniversary since his birth on the 6th of August. We have problems, are we, naming stuff, basically, in this country, unfortunately. By the way, if you're at a loose end this evening, myself, Neil Delamere and Alison Spittle and others will be doing comedy in Trinity College tonight in the Beckett Theatre. We're recording a show for BBC Radio all about a united Ireland, what to do about flags and Tato and all of that. It's completely free, 7:30 this evening. If you go to my Instagram, you'll find the signing up link to join the audience there. An hour of free comedy. Sure, hit me up on the Instagram. Why don't you? Good.